Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And now, it's time for the Bet Rivers Sportsbook pregame show with Hub Arkish, Patrick Manley, and Olin Krutz on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Brought to you by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Go to betrivers.com or download the Bet Rivers app from the App Store now. And mailmedchicago.com, where a full head of hair is the winning play.
Well, good afternoon, Chicago, and welcome in to our Bet Rivers Sportsbook app Bears pregame show here at 670 The Score. I am Hub Arkish, along with Patrick Manley and Olin Krutz. It is great to be with you all this afternoon for the renewal of the oldest rivalry in the history of the NFL, the Chicago Bears at Lambeau Field tonight to take on the Green Bay Packers. And guys, hopefully we'll get some good football because Lord knows there hasn't been a ton of it so far in the earlier games today. Been an interesting Sunday. Been some bad teams that have scared some good teams, a couple close football games, but nothing to really shock us or get too excited about. Probably the most interesting one we had hoped right now going on in Tampa with the Chiefs and the Bucks, but no one should be surprised. The Chiefs are putting a hurting on the Bucks right now at 17-0. Let me welcome in my partners, Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley. And Pat, I'll come to you first. We're going to get to Bears-Packers, obviously, momentarily and for the next 2.5 hours. But as far as any of this early action today, anything that has jumped out at you that you find particularly entertaining, particularly disappointing, what have you seen so far on Sunday?
Just all of it. It's just fun to actually sit back and watch it all right now with the Bears having the late game. But to me, it's just how bad the NFC East is, and with Daniel Jones going down and Colt McCoy coming in. I forgot he was still in the NFL, and he go on and they win the game, so they're up there in that division. But just watching that division is entertaining because it's not good, but it is what it is. So just all of it, honestly, Hub. Just sitting back and being able to sit on the couch and just take it all in and watch all these games and get ready for this big Bears-Packers game.
You know, Olin, it is a bit stunning as we have been, you know, beating our heads against the wall the last 8, 9, 10 weeks here in Chicago with the whole Mitch Trubisky, Nick Foles thing. And I guess you'd say Nick Foles was the backup, is the backup again. But you look around the NFL, and there are other teams not only with as much trouble at starting quarterback as the Bears, but as Pat just pointed out, some of these backups, I mean, we're watching Colt McCoy, we're watching, Mike Glennon, we're watching running backs play quarterback in Denver. You know, there are just not enough quarterbacks to go around. And I think it's a big story of the NFL season so far, not just here in Chicago, but around the league.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, every year, teams that don't have their franchise quarterback, and there's very few teams who do, are looking for their franchise quarterback. But if we're talking about as it compares to the Chicago Bears, well, not every team spent a number two pick in the draft and then signed a free agent that they guaranteed $21 million to. So not every team has give those kind of resources to that position. And that's why the Bears quarterback position has been so frustrating, Hub. And if you want to talk about the fact that now there's been about, I think, close to 3,000 quarterback coaches have come through since Coach Nagy's got here. So, I know that situation is the same for a lot of teams around the league. But as you know, Hub, every situation is entirely different with how many resources you put there and the fact that the Bears went really all in to try to fix that position, and they haven't.
Yeah, you know, Olin, it actually feels like there's still 3,000 quarterback coaches here now. it is interesting the way they've attacked it, guys. Let me, and again, we're going to kind of work our way closer to actually breaking down this football game with a couple hours to work. We've got a big show. planned for everybody. Really excited about where are they now this week. Our buddy Jerry Fontenot, who preceded Olin Krutz and Casey Wegman at center for the Chicago Bears for a number of years, great career with the Bears, and then went up to Green Bay as a coach and coached a couple positions. I know he worked with the offensive line, with the tight ends. I think he worked with the running backs at some time, was up there almost a decade. So Jerry's got a good feel for both sides of this. We'll have Grody on the couch tonight, not on the field, as they're up in Lambeau. I don't know who would want to travel up to Wisconsin right now with all that's going on with the surge in the pandemic. And, of course, Dan Pompey will join us as we get to the 7 o'clock hour just before kickoff. But right now, guys, just looking at what's happening today, obviously the story is Mitch Trubisky. I mean, he's getting another start. We don't really know if it's because Matt Nagy decided it was time to go back to him, or it's just because of the hip pointer or whatever they're calling the hip injury to Nick Foles that is keeping him on the sidelines. We'll get the inactives in a little while, but my guess is that Tyler Bray will be the backup and Foles will be inactive. Olin, I'll let you start this time. I mean, what do you expect to see from Mitch tonight?
Well, you're hoping that he sat back and learned a little bit from watching Foles, but I don't know how much you can actually expect to see different, Pat, than what we saw under Coach Nagy and this staff the last 22 starts that Mitch had, in which they averaged under 19 points a game. So as a peer analyst, you look at it, and you're not expecting a whole hell of a lot, especially with the injuries they have on offense, the guys they have out. Obviously, Mitch going to the bench basically proved that their problem was a lot bigger than just the quarterback position, and they found that out fast. Now Mitch gets another shot, and we're hoping that they can at least move the ball, sustain some kind of drive to keep that defense off the field, keep them fresh, so we can find a way to win this game somehow, some way, with a bunch of takeaways and hopefully a special teams touchdown, Pat, even though we got that all last time they were on the field against the Vikings and still lost the game.
Yeah, that didn't work out so good, but I love the word you use there, hope. I think all of us as Bears fans right now have that feeling. You know, you hope something clicked. I guess the only thing to me, Olin, would be he knows now that he's truly gone. I think he kind of knew he was gone before, and I'm talking about Mitch, that maybe now he goes out there and takes more chances. You know, maybe just does something more just out of the box a little bit, because he's like, screw you guys. I'm going to play my last games I can and see what I can do. And you hope that's a good thing, not a bad thing, that he starts throwing it into harm's way and gets more interceptions. But hope.
Yeah. So, but, you know, Hub and Pat, the thing about it is, you know, there's a lot of guys who are going to have to shock us tonight if the Bears are going to look any different on offense, right? If you really think about it, because they're going to shuffle that offensive line once again. Some of those guys, either Cole Kmet or Miller or Mooney, or these guys are going to have to play a lot better than they've been playing, and the coaches are going to have to coach a lot better than they've been coaching. So hopefully Mitch gives them a shot in the arm, but a lot of these guys have to play a lot better for this offense to look different, and that's kind of what we've been waiting for, is for one of these quarterbacks to raise a level of everybody around them, and that's what they've been missing.
You know, guys, big news around the league. You know, we're focused on the Bears, and a lot of people
are just maybe because we're the Bears pregame show.
That probably has something
that's
to do with
weird,
it.
That's weird, man.
Yeah, you know, it's funny how that works out. But where I was going with that before Rodney Dangerfield decided to jump in. Big news around the league. You know, people talking here in Chicago about the futures of Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, and yet you got a pair that are 25-17, one playoff trip the last 2 years, 5-5 right now. Don't know what's going to happen. But you look in Detroit, where on Friday, after a Thanksgiving embarrassment and 2.5, well, almost 3 years that don't even closely rival what the Bears have done, both GM Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia get the axe. There is now breaking news as we come on the air. Adam Schefter, who is really wrong with this stuff, is reporting that the Jaguars have just fired their general manager, longtime general manager Dave Caldwell. Kind of interesting that would happen now after the Jags probably – I don't want to say they played their best game of the year, but very competitive up in Minnesota. Let one get away. It's obviously not the GM's fault that the place kicker goes wide left at the end of the game to not get the win. But lots of activity with coaches in front office. I don't know Pat, that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are under quite as much pressure as some Bears fans want to think. But certainly other teams not waiting, not holding their fire. And so you got to believe that at least a big upset tonight would take a lot of pressure off Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, especially if Mitch Trubisky did come out and play well.
Well, I think it would with, the rest of the teams on the schedule as well. Maybe they could string a couple wins together and get, more into the playoff hunt. But I think that's the biggest thing we'd like to see. But it is interesting seeing all these teams now make this change during the season, trying to get ahead of everybody else to find the next guy. So let's just hope the Bears can figure something out here. Maybe these guys can – it goes back to that word hope again, Olin. hope they can figure something out and get this win. It would be just – it would be, obviously a huge upset, but it would be great for Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy coming off a bye week, and let's see if these guys can raise their play, all of them included, especially the offensive line. We got some guys coming back. It'll be interesting to see who they put in some spots today with some injuries, but it's an interesting time for the coach and GM, but it's not just this game too, Hub. I think it's also the next five games after this one to kind of how Matt Nagy works with the locker room. Do you start sensing them losing the locker room? Like Matt Patricia did in Detroit. You saw a lot of guys who had left Detroit firing on Matt Patricia after he got fired, which I thought was very interesting.
Yeah, that's always a little bit telling. And Olin, of course, you played through the end of the Dick Geron era here. Mm-hmm. Patrick, I know you were there for that, as well as the end of the Lovie Smith era. We saw how quickly things changed for, of course, Mark Trestman and Phil Emery. But Olin, when you get to that point, and in the case of Geron, it was interesting because I'm not sure he ever really struggled the way that Nagy has. I mean, he had the Coach of the Year season in 2001. 2002 was just a wipeout with us playing all the home games in Champaign and the injuries that you guys had. And actually bounced back in 2003 and were fairly competitive, but you kind of knew that Jerry Angelo wasn't going to stick with Dick Geron once he got the job. And I wonder what the sense is like in the locker room with the players when that kind of stuff is going on.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird feeling, especially when you hear people start to talk about coaches and their jobs and whether they'll keep them or not, because these guys are guys that you've bought into, that you want, you're trusting to put you in the best position to succeed. And then you hear things like, Mr. Trubisky saying that he really wants them to listen to his input on offense. He wants to run the things that he's good at. So it's a strange feeling, Hub. Obviously, been through it, with Coach Geron, a lot of stories about that, with Coach Geron getting let go. And I think the first time we realized it, Pat, is when Ted Washington got traded to the New England Patriots, and it kind of shocked all of us, including Coach Geron, because Ted was such a cornerstone of our team at that time, one of the real leaders. So guys started disappearing out of the locker room. Like you said, Hub, we were in Champaign. Guys were getting, injured. We had a ton of injuries at the end of the year. Even ended up with, one of the many quarterback coaches that the Bears have. We had Henry Burris start in our last game out there in Champaign. I think it was versus Tampa Bay. Ended up with 5 interceptions. So it can get kind of crazy. I don't think the Bears are there yet at 5-5. Obviously, they lose tonight. That talk will start again. I do remember in 2009. When they started talking about Lovie's job, and we were down in Baltimore, and the media was asking us all kind of questions about that, Pat. I do remember that year, and things were strange, but bounced back the next year in 2010 and went to the NFC Championship game. So these kind of stuff, you never know what can happen. As a player, you just try to play your best football and hang in there.
Yeah, and Olin, correct me if I'm wrong. I just kind of feel that it's that feeling in the locker room where you know that the coach has kind of lost the players. We only had that one year with Dave Wannstedt when we were rookies, and we really didn't know what was going on. But I just had a sense that the guys weren't still believing him anymore. And I think when that happens, that's when, a general manager or the ownership has to figure out what the best move is. And then with Dick Geron, it was odd with, we were somewhat young and still trying to figure out the NFL with Jerry Angelo, knowing he's in charge now and he wants his guy. But man, we respected Dick Geron and his entire staff, and that's just an odd feeling as a player. But again, I think it's just if the guys lose their respect for Matt Nagy and that coaching staff, that they'll know that. The management will know that, and that's when it's time to make a change.
Yeah, I screwed up a little bit there, guys. It was actually, I had forgotten, it was Cleveland down in Jacksonville where the Jags missed a two-point conversion to tie and lost that game to Cleveland. It was the Panthers, of course, up in Minnesota who went wide left on the final field goal attempt to let the Vikings come back and steal one. They did everything they could to lose, but they come away 28-27 winners. We are going to take a very quick break here on the Bet Rivers Sportsbook pregame show. We will be back in just a moment with further breakdown, starting to get in the weeds a little bit with Bears and Packers. I forgot to mention, along with Jerry Fontenot and Where Are They Now, Grody on the field, and of course Dan Pompey and his picks. We've also got Tom Silverstein, longtime Packers beat reporter, going to check in at 5:40. So great guest lineup for you tonight. We've got Olin, we've got Pat, I'm Hub. We're back in just a moment right here on The Score.
Hey, it's Danny Parkins, afternoons 2 to 6. Yup, it's Packers week, and the Bears need a division win over Aaron Rodgers in primetime Sunday night football in the worst way. They've got to get it done, and we're covering it right up to game time, so keep it here for the best Bears talk on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station, Chicago's home for Bears fans.
This segment is brought to you by Amazon.
Amazon is now hiring near you. From boxing it up to sending it on its way, every package we deliver matters to someone. Ready to work hard to make someone's everyday? Immediate hourly roles are available at amazon.com/apply. Amazon is an equal opportunity employer.
Helzberg Diamonds presents our vows to you. We, Helzberg Diamonds, take you, guy driving in car, to be our beloved customer. We promise to guide you to the right engagement ring, be it natural or lab-grown or moissanite. Whether you're knowledgeable or still wondering, what is moissanite? To give you the best quality at the lowest price, as long as you shall be shopping for an engagement ring. Helzberg Diamonds, a Berkshire Hathaway company.
Looking for a better bet on pro football? Look no further than Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Each and every NFL game day, they reduce the juice on all pro football games on game days only. Bet Rivers reduces the juice on point spreads and points totals from 110 to 107. That's 30% less vig on your NFL bets and more money in your pocket. Don't most of us bet right before the game? Why not get a better price on your bets? Go to BetRivers.com or download the app to cut your cost and make your bet now. Fast payout approval, superb customer service, Chicago's hometown sportsbook. All right, tonight's game, the over-under is 44. So how do you feel about that? The Packers have been averaging 30 points a game, and our Bears are at a lowly 19. So there's some info for you. So go download the Bet Rivers app at the App Store or go to BetRivers.com now. Not valid for any participant of the Illinois Gaming Board's statewide voluntary self-exclusion program. Must be 21 years of age or older. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER.
With TD Ameritrade, you get everything you need to become a smarter investor. Get help from knowledgeable professionals. Get customizable trading platforms. Get investor education designed just for you. And would you believe? Zero commissions on online stock and ETF trades. Get smarter with TD Ameritrade. TD Ameritrade, where smart investors get smarter.
The Hyundai Thanksgiving sales event is going on now, so that means it's time to feast on the savings. Get irresistible deals on the Hyundai you've always wanted. From the boldly designed Sonata to the tech-savvy Elantra to our award-winning lineup of SUVs. Plus, you'll get the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and complimentary maintenance with bumper-to-bumper coverage for 3 years. That's better than Toyota, Honda, and Nissan. Can't wait to satisfy your craving for saving? Then hurry in to the Hyundai Thanksgiving sales event or visit buyhyundai.com today before all these great deals get gobbled up.
Lease the 2021 Tucson for $189 a month for 36 months with $26.99 due at signing or get 0% APR for 72 months. Now with complimentary maintenance. See your local Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealer or visit buyhyundai.com today. Offers end January 4th, 2021. Call 224-661-0068 for details.
I absolutely love my dog, but the constant shedding, not so much. But then I got a Swiffer Sweeper pet kit, and it is amazing. These super thick cloths pick up a crazy amount of hair. Just look at all that. And that was from just one swipe. And the best part? Sweeper's so much easier to maneuver than a broom or a vacuum, easily getting around chairs and under the couch. You're right. Now I can focus on you, not your shedding. Swiffer Sweeper Pet Kit. Because shed happens.
Hey, Bears fans. This is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
We made USAA insurance for members like Martin, a veteran made of conviction. He believes if you're going to do something, you should do it right, like measuring twice and cutting once. So when a hailstorm hit his house and his car, USAA reached out to him before he could even inspect the damage. Martin said, "That's how you do it right." His roof and car were fixed up before his neighbor could even get started. USAA Insurance has made the way members like Martin and his family need it, with hassle-free claim service to help get you back to normal fast. Save more when you bundle home and auto. Get a quote today at usaa.com/insurance. USAA, what you're made of, we're made for. USAA. Ability to receive a quote depends on membership eligibility. Product, membership eligibility, and bundling savings restrictions apply and are subject to change. United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today on our Bet Rivers Sportsbook pregame show right here at 670 The Score. Olin Kreutz is here. Patrick Manley is here. I am Hub Arkush. We've got a bunch of great guests coming in to visit with you over the next couple hours. So don't go anywhere. We're breaking down the oldest and I still believe best rivalry in the National Football League as the Bears go up to Lambeau Field to take on the Green Bay Packers. And guys, the stakes couldn't be much clearer. If the Packers win this one, they pretty much, I mean, not mathematically, but for all practical purposes, they wrap up the NFC North. They would have, with a win tonight, a three-game lead with five to play. The flip side of it is if the Bears can find a way to win this football game, they control their own destiny. They climb to within one game of the Green Bay Packers, and with one to play, they'd have a real shot at it. So, obviously, a ton at stake here for both teams. Unfortunately, Pat, I just don't know. And yes, you've got changes here. You know, clearly the big one with Trubisky at quarterback. But also, I'm going to give my best guess that Akeem Hicks doesn't go tonight, a significant loss on the defensive side. And so with that, I don't know how much we've seen lately to feel comfortable predicting that the Bears can pull an upset tonight.
Yeah, this does not look good on paper. It doesn't look good on tape. It doesn't look good when you look at matchups. And one of the matchups I thought the Bears would have a real advantage with would be Akeem Hicks in there going against Lucas Patrick, the right guard for the Packers. And if Akeem Hicks isn't in there, that's going to be an issue. So I thought that was something maybe they'd get a little extra pressure on Aaron Rodgers. He's very tough to sack. I think he's only been sacked, averages like one sack a game or gets sacked once a game. So he's tough to get home to. But that was one of the spots that I thought maybe, hey, the Bears can get something done there, but we'll see if he goes. And hopefully if he does, he's healthy, and that's something they can exploit a little bit.
Olin, let's talk about the rivalry. I know that from the time that you guys got here, the Packers have had a pretty good handle on it, although you guys had a real good stretch from like 04 through 07. And prior to you guys getting here, throughout the end of the 70s, all through the 80s and the early 90s, the Bears dominated the Packers the way the Packers have dominated the better part of the last 20 years or so. And so it some people think that the shine is off a little bit. But for Bears fans, and I think folks that have been around this rivalry, their entire time as fans, it's still as special as anything you'll find in the NFL. What was the feeling for you guys game week as you were getting ready for the Packers?
Yeah, I mean, the shine is never off. The Packers and the Bears, just because if you go anywhere, and of course now with this strange time we're in with COVID and you don't really go out much, but if you do see any fans, I think Pat can attest to this, they're the ones who make you realize pretty quickly how big of a game this is for the Chicago fans, the Chicago Bears fans, to beat the Packers and how much it means to them. So it definitely grows on you, your hate for the Green Bay Packers, especially like you said, Hub. We haven't done well against them. Obviously, Lovey came in 2004 and said that his number one goal was to beat the Packers. We beat them in 2004, Lovey's first year. I can always remember, I'm sure Pat remembers, in 99 after Walter Payton's funeral at the stadium, and Dan Hampton talked to us and said to go up there and beat them for Walter and play as hard as we can, how much it meant. So we had a lot of experiences during our time with how much how important this rivalry was to Chicago, which for as long as me and Pat played here, it ended up meaning a whole lot to me. I won't speak for Pat, but I know it meant a lot to him, so I will speak for him. But, you know, Brian Robinson blocks that kick, Pat, and it yep. was an amazing win. And there's other wins as you're going through the year, but it definitely means a lot to them. And I know the players in that locker room, especially this year, they know what it means to them, and you end up hating them because they always seem to have the Hall of Fame quarterback on their side.
Yeah, it's just there's just a lot of a lot of great memories of that. But you're right, Olin. Just being around town, or just your neighbors that flew the Green Bay flag, and when you came home from after beating Green Bay, you'd strut by their house a little bit more, and maybe walk the dog a couple more times in their front lawn. But it's a great rivalry, and everybody knows you got split houses, husbands, wives, Packers, Bears fans. So it's everywhere. But what I loved about it too, Olin, it was intense. And it was what it was, but there was respect from both sides. It's just it's been going on for so long. I remember after games, we'd go walk into the parking lot. I'd go to one of the campers and get some beers to bring them on the bus. And, fans would just come over and talk to you, either you won or lost, and just say, hey, how you good game. And I think the only worst thing you saw was the one-finger salute when you left Lambeau Field. But it's a great rivalry, and I enjoyed every minute of it. And there are tons of memories and great games we had against the Molin that hopefully tonight, maybe this is one of those upsets like 99 that we'll be talking about.
Yeah, and just like yesterday, I was buying a Christmas tree with my family, and a guy had a Green Bay Packers mask on. He just wanted to walk up to him and tell him to go F himself. You know what I mean? Like, yes. Get the mask off, bro. Like, you're not funny. You're not cool. Yep. But yep. you just get that feeling because you're so close together, and there's so many fans in Chicago, in Illinois, who support the Packers. There's so many fans in Wisconsin who support the Bears. So it just turned into an obvious rivalry.
And Olin, I remember it was our first game going up there when Coach Wannstedt showed that video of all the games and the big hits and just the history. And that's really when it hit home to me what this meant. I think the video was like 25, 30 minutes long. And I'm like, wait a minute. This is some serious history, and you could kind of get the vibe of what this meant to the coaching staff, what it meant to older players there, and that's where it started for me.
Yeah, Patrick's a much nicer guy than I am. Whenever the Bears would beat the Pack, I went out of my way to make sure my dogs crapped on the Packer fans' lawn. and it was actually the only time of the year I didn't pick it up. We just left it there as a little surprise for the next morning. Guys, we've got to take another quick break. I've got my favorite Packer story I'll tell some point before we get off the air. I'm sure you guys have them too. But right now, we've got to take another very quick break. And to get us back on schedule, we were a little off with the strange starting time at the bottom of the hour with our Bet River Sportsbook pregame show. But we've got a couple hours plus left for you. We're going to take a very quick break here. When we get back, Olin and Patrick and I will break it down a little bit more. And right around 5:15, a very special guest. Where are they now? We visit with Chicago Bears great center. We're going to be loaded with centers here. We're going to have Jerry Fontenot here, who also was a longtime coach with the Green Bay Packers. That's all coming up right after this very quick break here on The Score.
Mitch Trubisky is back, Chicago. Oh, it's Mitch, remember Mitch. Mitch Trubisky is back.
Touchdown!
What has he learned in the time that he sat? Oh, it's Mitch. It's up to Mitch against the Green Bay Pack. Nagy, it's up to you. Don't let him stink like number two. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Keep it here for more on Mitch Trubisky's return as Packer Week continues on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans. A radio.com sports station.
Switching and saving with your local GEICO agent sure is easy. Even easier than binge-watching a bad TV series. You watch one just to make fun of it. But after you've watched one, you need one more. And another, and another. Then you stop and think, this might be a waste of time. Better watch one more just to be sure. So yeah, GEICO. Contact your local agent and see how easy savings can be.
Looking for a better bet on pro football? Look no further than Bet River Sportsbook. Each and every NFL game day, they reduce the juice on all pro football games on game day only. Bet Rivers reduces the juice on point spreads and points totals from 110 to 107. That's 30% less vig on your NFL bets and more money in your pocket. Hey, don't most of us bet right before the game? Why not get a better price on your bets? Go to BetRivers.com or download the app to cut your cost and make your bet now. Fast payout approval, superb customer service, Chicago's hometown sportsbook. All right, if you didn't do so well with your bets, you still have time to get in on more action with the Bears-Packers game. So go check out the prop bets and download the BetRivers app at the App Store or go to BetRivers.com now. Not valid for any participant of the Illinois Gaming Board's statewide voluntary self-exclusion program. Must be 21 years of age or older if you or someone you know has a gambling problem. Crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you'd like to learn how Team Hochberg can help you secure a reverse mortgage loan, call 855-56-DAVID or visit 56david.com. Homeside Financial Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 112-4061.
The time-honored tradition of holiday shopping. It may be different this year, but we'd argue it's also better. So when you're online, browsing page after page for the perfect gift, give yourself the gift of Heineken. Because if you can go hunting for presents in your pajamas, you can also do it.
My belief is that Mitchell has used these weeks to make himself a better overall NFL quarterback. And I don't know, you know, and whenever and if ever he gets that chance, where when he does, but I do believe in my heart of hearts that he has grown from this situation.
Chicago Bears head coach Matt Nagy talking about the time away from the field for Mitchell Trubisky. Remember, it was actually about halfway through the third period in Atlanta when he threw that awful interception. Nick Foles came on, led a miraculous comeback, got the starting job the following week, and we have seen Mitchell Trubisky exactly once since when he got on the field with a designed run against the New Orleans Saints, banged up his right throwing shoulder, and then was inactive the last 4 weeks, come back tonight to start for the Bears and hopefully get this offense going. And guys, one of the things I want to focus on a little bit here is that we can take shots at Nick Foles and Mitch Trubisky all night long, and honestly, I think 98% of them are justified, at least for their play on the field. I don't really like wasting time going after guys off the field. That's not part of the job as I see it. But on the field, they've been awful. You know, they deserve the objective analysis that they've gotten, and yet a lot of it has to do with the play of the offensive line. And some of that is not the offensive line's fault because of the injuries, the COVID tests, various things that have gone on. But, you know, tonight, Olin, they're going to be as healthy and at least as full, you know, all guys on deck as they've been really since James Daniels went down. Obviously, no James Daniels. But other than that, everybody is available. They've added Eric Kush. Sam Mustafa has a start under his belt. Alex Barrs has half a game at guard and a full game at center. Jason Spriggs played about three quarters before he both injured a knee and went down with COVID. You've got Cody Whitehair not only back, but with a game under his belt, now a week to rest. So not sure exactly what the starting lineup is going to look like, but at least the Bears have as many options possible. And hopefully if they get the right combination, maybe we can expect a little better play from the offensive line tonight.
Yeah, let me take a guess at this starting offensive line. Wink, wink. We'll probably go Leno, but Leno, we have to see what his toe is, right, Hub? Did you see anything around the building this week? Did they say anything about Leno and his turf toe? I think they're testing him out before the game today, so that could be a big loss.
Yeah. They were surprised by it all, and it actually happened in practice Wednesday. He did not practice Thursday or Friday, so they were hopeful. People tend to, you know, turn their nose up when they hear turf toe. Until you've had a turf toe, you don't know how difficult
don't
it
turn your
be.
Nose up to
yeah.
turf toe. That
I did it
sucks.
Once.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is awful.
Yeah, but you know, I think they wanted to go with Leno. They were going to bump Cody Whitehair to left guard, put Mustafa at center. Interestingly enough, go with Barrs at right guard and kick Ifedi out to right tackle. So it'll be interesting to see if Leno doesn't go on. I think that Spriggs there at left tackle. I think they think that Barrs has played well enough to warrant playing on the field. They liked what they've seen from him. And I think Mustafa gives them something, Pat, that they haven't had in a while at that center position. Just kind of a traffic cop, a guy who sees what's going on from the defense. If you guys remember when they played the Saints, the one game Mustafa did play before he hurt his knee, they averaged 4 yards a carry running the ball against a pretty good rush defense. I think the Saints came in top five against the run. One of their better rushing performances there. So, like you said, Hub, really interested to see this unit tonight. They put on the field. I think they're trying to get their best five on the field. Obviously, if Leno doesn't go, Za'Darius Smith does understand how to beat Spriggs since he came from Green Bay. But the opposite is also true, Pat, that Spriggs should know how to block him.
Yeah, no doubt. And I like the idea what you're talking about is putting your best five out there because, you know, they've been trying to plug the holes with other guys before and it's not working out. That gets me a little excited. If that is going to be the offensive line, I would really like to see that. But the one thing, and you were talking about Sam Mustafa, I think
you don't have to wonder, Pat. It is. That's the offensive line.
No. I'm saying I'm wondering about him against Kenny Clark. Him against Kenny Clark. That's the matchup that I'm looking forward to seeing. That's Kenny Clark. You know, Sam isn't the stoutest, strongest guy, and Kenny Clark is.
Yeah.
But I think
it's
with
a big
Sam,
challenge.
Big challenge. Putting guys in position to try to do the right thing. I think that's key right now because there's been so many blown mistakes. You can just see it out there that, you know, the guy's running free or going to the wrong linebacker in the run game, and hopefully he helps out a lot.
And it was Kenny Clark, right, Hub and Pat, if I remember, up there last year. Didn't he have, in the first four or five plays, two tackles for loss and a sack?
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously, you know, anytime you play Green Bay, it's huge, but with a brand-new interior three, those three guys inside, that's a big challenge for them. Kenny Clark is a really good football player, like you're saying, Pat.
Yeah, and I got to believe that any center, but particularly Mustafa, who is a little smaller than you'd like, is going to get some help with Kenny Clark because Kenny Clark can be a monster. You're going to see the two youngsters probably gang up on him a little bit with Bars and Mustafa. Maybe Whitehair will help him out. But I'm thrilled to hear this because the one thing I worry about is Jermaine Ifedi will do a nice job run blocking there out there at right tackle. The reason it never worked at Seattle is he was the king of the false start. And I know a lot of people really worried.
That's
that he had a
horrible
hearing problem.
To be known as that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he led the league in him for 2 years.
You know? He did. Right there, Charles Leno.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons Seattle didn't re-sign him, you know. So if he can just, you know, get set and get that snap count right, he can be a really strong run blocker out there. Jason Spriggs, as you pointed out, Olin, did a nice job blocking the run out there, but he couldn't pass protect to save his life. And, you know, Ifedi, again, these guys, I'm sure there'll be a lot of 12 and 13 personnel. There's nothing wrong with that. But here's the other thing, guys, and Olin, I'll come back to you first. When they played a lot of that 12 and 13 personnel earlier in the season with Mitch under center, having Mitch under center was a little bit more of an advantage. And they spread him out a little bit. Even though they had two, three tight ends on the field, they'd get one out on the slot, even split Graham out wide. What we've seen the last couple of weeks when they go to these two and three tight ends, they've got everybody packed in so tight, and they're just bringing the defense in with them, and there's just no lanes for them to run through.
Yeah, and when they try to pack everybody in, they're trying to cause confusion. You see some of that from the Rams. And you heard Coach Nagy talk about this week that the run game is definitely a problem. One, you know, their biggest problem has been saying that now for 2 years. But you know, their problem really is scoring points. Even when they ran the ball well against Detroit and the Giants, they weren't really scoring a lot of points off of that rush. If you remember against Detroit in the first game, they didn't score into the fourth quarter to where they had to throw the ball on every play, even though they ran the ball really, really well. Against the Giants, they only scored 17 points. And they weren't scoring much against the Falcons either until Foles came in and led them to that comeback. So their problem is scoring points. Running the ball will help them just because it'll keep the defense fresh and on the sideline. But, you know, Hub, it's just this offense right now is the sum of its parts. And I think they all – and, you know, we talked about the players earlier – and we talked about how a bunch of players have a bunch to prove tonight. But I think maybe the biggest problem with this offense is that when we hired Coach Nagy and he came in with his scheme and the guys he hired, first he hired Heffrick, he's not who we thought he was. And he's not the offensive genius. And then he didn't fire his scheme this year. And we just got more and more of it. So he's got a lot to prove. And it's and the interesting thing about this story is he has to resurrect his offense and maybe his career with the quarterback he benched.
That's a good point. And, Olin, what's funny, I want to bring this up to you, is you said it, I think, in your post game, to tell Mitch, make sure you stay ready because you might get your time again. And when you said that, I was hopeful that we didn't see him, because that would have meant that Nick Foles was doing a good job. But you were right, obviously, and he's here, and hopefully he can play a little better and help Matt Nagy resurrect his offense.
Yeah, and the thing about it was you just looked at, and I think Hub has said this many times, but you just looked at Foles' career, and you knew he's never played 16 games. And you just, in the back of your mind, thought to yourself, we're going to see Mitch Trubisky again. Hub, I mean, we're going to see him again, because this guy Foles doesn't really finish seasons. And you know, even when he led the Eagles to the Super Bowl, that was only 4 or 5 games.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, guys, the numbers are clear. He's actually only played more than 8 games twice. He played 13 games in that miraculous 2013 season when he came out, threw 27 touchdowns, 2 picks, went to the Pro Bowl. But even that was, he had to have a playoff game to get there. Actually, I guess it was 12 games, because he came off the bench week 5 when Mike Vick hurt his shoulder. He played 11 games in one other season. Other than that, he's only played more than 8, as I say, those 2 times. So this was somewhat predictable. We obviously, had hoped he could stay healthy here. You never want to see anybody hurt. I mean, I thought it was time to go back to Mitch anyway, but not this way. But this is what's happened. It will be Mitch Trubisky tonight. We are going to take a very quick commercial break here. When we get back, it is Where Are They Now time at our Bet Rivers Sportsbook pregame show. And Jerry Fontenot, one of the great Chicago Bears. Great, we talk a lot about the middle linebackers and the running backs in Chicago, but really, when you look at Jay Hilgenberg and Jerry Fontenot and of course, Olin Krutz, and then if you want to go back to the early days, I believe Bronco Nagurski actually played some center as well as some fullback. It has been a primo position in the NFL, and it's great to have Jerry joining us right after this quick commercial break. So stay right where you are. Where Are They Now is next on The Score. Welcome back, everybody. It is great to be with you on our Bet Rivers Sportsbook pregame show, and I'm excited to get to Where Are They Now in just a moment. But first, Olin, I got to say, I love Pat's new reads on that Bet Rivers Sportsbook app. I mean, talk about Mr. Chill. I mean, laid back there. Did they send you to school, or what's going on there, Pat? I mean,
no, I'm trying to use our Olin, what was our guy we've talked to tell us to slow down when we're talking? Arthur Joseph.
Yes, you gotta take a deep, loving breath there.
So I tried it, and it just, I don't know if I like it. So I'll be going back to my normal reads.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, I'm not having fun with you. I love it. I mean, I've already got the app on my phone, but I'd go get it again after hearing that commercial. So, guys, it is Where Are They Now time. And as we talk every week about who's a perfect fit for Where Are They Now. This is the first guy that occurred to me this week, and I just didn't know if we'd be able to reach him or not. But Jerry Fontenot, of course, an outstanding NFL career. I want to say played 15 seasons in the NFL. The first 8 of them with the Chicago Bears, then went to New Orleans for the next, actually maybe it was 16 seasons. Jerry will fill us in on that. And then went to the Bengals for a year. And then we forgive him for this, went up to Lambeau, became the assistant offensive line coach with the Packers for 5 years, kind of there for the better part of the entire McCarthy era, coached running backs, coached tight ends, and so couldn't find a better guy with a unique perspective on all that goes into this rivalry. Jerry, thank you so much for taking time out to join us this Sunday. I hope you and yours had a great Thanksgiving and that the holiday weekend has been good to you so far.
Hey, Hub, and Pat and Olin, it's good to hear all you guys. But, yeah, I actually, it was 16 seasons, Hub, and you did correct yourself. It's not a big deal. I'll tell you what, the best thing is that whenever I go do Bears functions, like as an alumni, people often think that I'm old enough to be on that Super Bowl team, and I don't ever correct them either. So, 16 seasons, Super Bowl, I'm good with all that.
Jerry, I got to ask you, we're going to go over a bunch of different stuff, but the obvious connection here is so much time in Chicago, so much time in Green Bay, and I know only because we've been practically neighbors, well, we have been neighbors all these years, living in the same town, that even all those years coaching up in Green Bay, as I understand it, never gave up the home here in the Chicago area, have stayed a Chicago guy pretty much the whole time, haven't you?
We have, and I say we because it's a Fontenot team. You know, we have Mrs. Fontenot and three daughters. So I actually was at the end of playing. We moved our kids and Stephanie back to Chicago, and then I played the last year in Cincinnati. So I commuted. But yeah, Chicago's home. I mean, I got there in 1989. I was, 21, 22 years old. And I mean, I've been there for 30 plus years. So, Chicago's been home and I love it. And, I guess I just weather the storm of living next to Hub or living in the same city. We often see each other at breakfast or we used to at our favorite breakfast place.
Hey,
be
Jerry.
Olin's a neighbor now, too. So, you know, we got
to. That's right. Well, we use Olin for a golf match. We need him to set up the golf for us.
Hey, Jerry. Olin here, man. It's great to talk to you, obviously. Just wondering, when you got done in 2004 and in 2006, you transitioned into a coaching career. What was that like, your first time being in the NFL building, but being a coach and not a player? What was that transition like?
Yeah, you know, that's such a good question because there were a lot of lessons that I learned along the way. Because as you guys know, Pat and Olin, I mean, as a player, you get certain things afforded to you and a certain attention is given to you because of our professions and, you know, being able to do what we love to do. And then whenever you transition into a coaching role, it's a lot different. I can just say that whenever I got the opportunity, I'll say that the best piece of advice that I ever got from anybody in the NFL ever was probably Jay Hilgenberg. And whenever I had retired at the end of 04, I took 05 and I did some radio and TV in Chicago. And then at the end of that, I got offered the job in Green Bay by Mike McCarthy. And I was talking to Jay, and Jay said, look, if you ever think you want to coach in your life, take this job. It doesn't matter. If you hold out for the next one, it may not come. And that was probably the best piece of advice I ever got because I got there and got the honor of spending 10 years of coaching up there with a really good staff, and we had some really good players. But, you know, the biggest thing was just walking in and out of the building. The players got their key cards to come in. I was a consultant coach my first year, so I had to punch in the digits. So that was my first humbling entrance into the building, which was fine. You know, that's not a big deal. But, you know, the other thing is that as a player, you get evaluated on your performance. As a coach, I felt like I was being evaluated by the performance of my players. And that's part of it. But I'll tell you what, another huge aspect of that is just how you coach within the staff and how well you're performing your job on game day. I mean, it's a lot less black and white as a coach than it is a player, because as a coach, you want to fill in wherever you can because you have that ability to be able to help all positions on the sideline, or if you're in the press box, you can certainly transfer information. But as a player, you know, you have a very specific job to do. I'm playing center. I'm going out there and I'm, you know, calling defenses or I'm IDing defenses and letting everybody know where to block. But, you know, as a coach, you can actually help in so many different areas. And that was kind of exciting to me because then it opened up the sandbox. You know, I got the opportunity to move outside of the offensive line and coach running backs and then coach tight ends, which, you know, that encompassed the passing game and everything else that I'd been doing before with the offensive line. So, coaching, it was a big adjustment, but it was spread out over a number of years.
So, Jerry, what was harder? Because I had two coaches at the end of my career. You know, they asked me, did I want to get into coaching? And I was kind of thinking about it. And they said, if you're not 100% into it, don't do it. And they're talking about the hours and the sacrifice you've got to put into it. And I know playing center for as long as you did, physically it's harder. But what like was harder? You know what I mean? Really, all the hours you put in there at the building and working with the young players and trying to get them better, or playing for all those years, you know, physically what your body took?
That's a great question, too. I mean, you know, I would say that it was easier exerting myself physically. It wasn't as taxing, and it didn't seem to have as lasting effects of tiredness. Because that you, as a coach, if you get tired, you're not going to catch up for a long time. And, you know, fortunately, we had a staff in Green Bay that Mike McCarthy said, look, you take care of your business. Whenever you're done, you make sure that, you know, no one else needs anything from you, and then you get out of the building. And, you know, and we don't want guys hanging around just to hang around. So I think there was a cult. There is somewhat of a culture of that that may still exist. I can't speak for everybody, but I'm sure that in Mike's experience, that's what he had experienced. So he didn't want any of us to just stick around the building just to put in hours. You know, he wanted us to be there while we were working. So I was very blessed in that arena. But it was long hours and it was a lot of preparation because, you know, if anything in my area doesn't get addressed before the problem arises, then it's my responsibility. So, I try to do as comprehensive a job as possible of trying to, you know, assess all problems that might come up and have a solution for them.
You know, Jerry, we don't get a lot of former players who transition into coaching on this show, and I'm interested – for the Chicago Bears fans that are listening, in your 14-year NFL career, coaching career in the NFL, I'm sure at some point you guys struggled on offense, and the Bears, I'm sure, as you know, have struggled the last 2 years on offense. What's it like day in and day out in the building, trying to get the offense going in the right direction, but every time you just keep playing bad? And are there times when you say, look, our scheme is not working? What can we do just to move the ball, just to keep ourselves in the game when you have such a good defense like the Bears have?
Yeah, you know, it was a blessing that I got to work with Mike because I had already played for him when I was playing at Chicago. So I knew his offense, or at least I thought I knew his offense in and out. But I'll tell you this, the couple of years that we were apart, because I left New Orleans in 04 and then he got the job in 06. And so when we reconvened, the playbook had changed, and not drastically, but nuances. And as you know, yeah, I mean, schemes will change over time because you're going to see different defenses. Old things will get refreshed. And so, you know, you just have to have an answer for as much as possible, especially with the way that coaches coach today, because it is more about schematic volume. At least that's what I see. And it's not so much about the technique, because the technique seems to get pushed to the side. You do as good a job as you can with technique, but it's going to be the volume of scheme that you throw at an opposing team that, you know, we had a lot of success with that. And we tried to run as many plays as we possibly could, as fast as we could. And, you know, it was challenging, to try to change schemes, you know, just make a wholesale change. We never did that, but we always would introduce new plays here and there. And I'll tell you what, I mean, as you know, Olin and Pat, you probably practice, you know, 20% of your plays that you may run once in an entire season. So, you know, you spend a lot of time drawing this stuff up and practicing it, but, you know, then pulling the trigger on game day is a whole other story. So, we always went into games with much more volume than we needed, per se.
All right,
Pat. Go ahead.
I got to ask you about Aaron Rodgers. You were there with him, and we see how great he is as a player on the field. What makes him so great, and why is he so great?
Okay. Aside from the fact that he's probably the smartest guy in the building, aside from the fact that he is definitely the most competitive, you know, you take away that, then he's just got raw physical talent that he can spot receivers. He looks off coverage. He, as I said, and I'm going to get back to the ultra-competitive part, but he, whenever he comes to work, I mean, he comes to work scheming to destroy defenses every day. And you know, whether that happens or not, you know, that's left to whatever happens on game day. But that's his preparation. That's his mindset whenever he comes in the building, because he doesn't want to just win. He wants to win handily. And, you know, he knows his players. He knows what to ask of his players. And he's very in tune with guys, let's just say their enthusiasm, you know, because he's not immune to feeling, you know, the volatility within a football game. But he definitely is very aware of the guys playing around him. And, you know, he knows what to ask of them. He knows how to motivate them. And, you know, he's a great guy to work with. And he was amazing. As all the amazing things that he's done on the field on game day, we saw that in practice during the week, all week long for years. I mean, it's a library.
Damn it, Jerry, we need some of that around here. Just some of it. Right? Damn it, we need some of that.
Two in
damn
a row.
It, just like two games of that. Damn it.
Hey, Jerry. I'm curious to ask Jerry Fontenot, the coach. Yeah. Mitch Trubisky, who is obviously not Aaron Rodgers, gets so much grief, and I don't know, he gets grief for saying he doesn't listen to it, from fans and even some media, for his attitude and the way he carries himself away from the field and away from the game and the things he says, and he gets accused of being immature and this and that. From a coaching perspective, do you guys really care what these guys are perceived as, you know, away from the game, off the field, the way people react to the things that they say when they're being asked questions like this?
Well, I can say I think it depends on the head coach and what kind of climate he wants to set in the building, because, you know, Mike was very in tune with what his players were putting out in the media. He was very aware of the messaging. And, you know, part of that stemmed from the fact that, you know, Mike wasn't spending as much time game planning with us, and he was, you know, trying to manage things from a team level. And that was probably his number one thing to monitor whenever he wasn't game planning with the offense. But, I think that the unfortunate side of what we put out into the newspapers and on the internet and on radio and TV is that, you know, our teammates are watching it too. So, I mean, if we don't carry ourselves with a certain amount of, you know, dignity and respect and compassion for your fellow teammates, you know, it's difficult, especially with a guy that's in the quarterback role, obviously, because he's going to be leading the offense. Maybe not verbally, but he's going to be leading the offense, as you guys know, because he has his hands on the ball every play, just about. So, I think as a coach, I didn't pay as much attention to what was being said in the media, but, you know, if we didn't have control of what was being said in the building and the messaging and the mentality of guys in the building, and it doesn't mean that everybody is just, you know, blindly going on board and being a yes man. It's, hey, if we have a difference, let's talk about it. Let's work it out. But whenever we work it out and make a decision, we're moving forward. We're moving forward together. This isn't us moving forward separately. And, Jerry, and I think that I think Coach Nagy has done a good job of that. I think that, you know, he does a good job of delivering his message in the building.
Jerry, unfortunately, we got to let you go because we've got to get to some other guests. But one more thing I got to ask you before you go. I've been meaning to ask you this the last couple times we talked because it's an image that's been stuck with me for, gosh, it's probably over 20 years now. You still playing the piano?
That's what Hub is doing to people nowadays, Jerry, man.
I am, and no better.
But that's not why I asked the question. Owen and Pat, I don't know if you guys I can't remember how long we were doing that Bears Weekly TV show, but it was probably, well, it was mid-90s because it was before Jerry left town. He came in. Tim Weigel and I were doing the show. I didn't know he played the piano. Weigel had a piano on set. And Jerry sat down and started playing on television, network affiliate here in Chicago. You were good, man. I mean, that was the part. Not the fact that you played didn't surprise me. How good you were was what surprised me. So glad to hear you have stuck with it.
Yeah, you didn't see my Walkman that I had with me, but yeah, and nobody else in the room knows what I'm talking about.
Jerry, we really appreciate it.
Yeah, that's a little tape player with a speaker system on it.
Yep.
Oh, there's a few of us who remember. Jerry, thank you so much, man. We really appreciate you taking time out. I hope that everybody continues to stay healthy and safe, and we will not let it be this long before we get you back on the air with us again.
Thank you, guys. And it's been great being with you.
That is Jerry Fontenot, longtime center of the Chicago Bears, longtime coach with the Green Bay Packers. We have to take a quick break here on our Bet Rivers Sportsbook pregame show. When we return, Tom Silverstein, one of the best guys on the Packers beat up in Milwaukee, up in Wisconsin. He's going to join us and break down this Packer team for us. That's right on the other side here at 670 The Score.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.